Well, how are you?
Doing well.
So, Eric, I just got a notice that Eric is also in the other meeting room.
So
I
weird.
did it too, and I know that others have. So, do you think it's maybe Melina? Do you want to just send a blast email to everybody and say that this is the?
Yeah.
Because I think it's just when you, if you're just looking for like notice from Melina, it's the most
Yeah.
one that comes up, and so I think that's
Yeah.
what led me there.
And I think usually like membership and community engagement aren't in the same week, so I could see how
Yeah.
that could have been confusing.
Or
Okay.
are you okay to do that, Melina? I can do
Oh
it too.
yeah, no, I got it right here. Let's see.
Hey, do you see Richard there? Because he says he's trying to get in the
Oh,
room, but
he just popped up.
okay, great.
Cool. Then I'll call the meeting to order. Dave, are you going to screen share the agenda or
I am. Hey
there.
Hey, Steven.
All right, good. I'm just making sure everything's working. I'm in the office today, so.
Right on.
There we go.
All right, so I will call the meeting to order, and I guess I will just ask folks to introduce each other, or themselves rather, as I call their name. I'm just going to go down, scroll through my screens. Dave?
Sorry, me?
Yeah.
Oh, David Jordan, Council Staff.
Thanks. Steven Spana.
Here I am, Stephen Spano, HCAP, staff attorney.
Thank you. Lee Jewell.
Present.
Thanks. Valerie, welcome to your first community engagement meeting.
I'm not on mute,
No, you're on.
Oh, okay. Hi, thank you. I am program assistant.
Thank you. Laura.
Laura Thomas, council member.
Mark.
Mark Molnar, council staff.
Lily.
Lily Krutel, council member.
Kevin.
HHS, Kevin Hutchcroft, HHS.
Thank you. Melina.
Melina Clark, council staff.
Beth.
Beth Neary, HIV Health Services staff.
Richard.
Hi, I'm Richard Sullivan, council member.
Derek.
Hi, I'm Derek Mapp, council member.
And TJ.
Hi, TJ Lee Miyake, council member.
Thank you. And I'm Eric Sutter, council member as well. Let's take a look at the agenda. Not a whole lot to take in. Any proposed amendments to the agenda? I would like to amend the minutes. I forgot to ask Allie Cohn to announce herself. Apologies, Allie.
Allie Cohn, council staff. Thanks, Eric.
Sorry. Any opposition to approving the minutes as written? Hearing none, or I'm sorry, the agenda is written. Hearing none, the agenda is passed. Let's take a look at the minutes from last month. Thanks, Dave.
I'm just going to slowly scroll through. If anyone needs me to go back, just let me know.
All right, any proposed amendments to the minutes from last month? Okay, any opposition to approving the minutes as written? Hearing no opposition, the minutes are passed. Any announcements? Right.
I would just, as noted in the introductions, I just wanted to formally announce that we have a new staff member, Valerie. I'd like to give her just a brief moment to introduce herself. She literally just started on Monday, so we're still getting her up to speed, so be gentle with her.
Hi, everyone. I'm Valerie. I'm really, really excited to be joining your team and to be serving you all. I guess my history, my past is definitely working with other like vulnerable or underserved communities in San Francisco through Lion Martin and Women's Community Clinic. I've also been a medical scribe in the emergency department in San Francisco General. I worked with a family emergency shelter coalition in the city of Hayward. So I definitely try to seek out opportunities to serve people in need. And I'm really excited to be here and to meet all of you.
Welcome, Valerie.
Welcome.
It's great to have you here.
Thank you.
All right. Any public comment? All right. HCAP report. Thanks, Stephen.
Announcements?
I already asked. Dave had a... Oh, you have one?
Yeah. We will be moving the steering committee to 1 week later from the 15th to the 22nd, same time.
Thanks. Any other announcements? All right, Stephen. Stephen, did you want to say anything about the HCAP report?
Sorry, I didn't realize I was muted and you guys couldn't see my, or you all couldn't see my my face. Sorry. I'm in the office. It's unusual that I have a mask on, but sorry, I'll repeat. It appears to be a light month from when you're looking at the report. It's actually not true. There were a lot of referrals this last month. There was one, I'm just going to highlight one issue because this is the first time that I'm seeing it. I'm actually surprised I'm not seeing this more, but if you want to turn to page two, there is an issue regarding an after visit summary from a primary medical care provider. This is something that I've had with clients before. It's not entirely sure whether the client wants to move forward with a grievance or not, but it is something that multiple people have mentioned, which is that when you get an after visit summary, sometimes there's doctors' names on there that the clients don't recognize. I think it has something to do with the way that the information is processed. There must be somebody putting maybe having a script written by someone else, or there must be some delegation of duties that's happening that is being documented, but it's incredibly confusing for some clients. In this instance, it goes one step further, which is the client does have some sensitivities regarding, most of our clients have, some sensitivity regarding confidentiality. But it's a little unnerving for clients who, especially some of whom who deal with high levels of anxiety, to kind of see names that they're not familiar with on their medical report. And so this is the first instance which is kind of elevating to that level where the client is wanting to do something about it. So I'm still working with a client who faces some significant disabilities. So I'll keep you posted, obviously, on the on the report on how that goes. But it was the one kind of unusual issue from this month's report. And with that, I'll leave it open for the fonts. Is the fonts larger a note for me, or is that a?
I think maybe it's. I don't know, Dave, if you can zoom in at all.
That's for everything. So far, I haven't been able to see any of them.
Oh, the screen. Gotcha. Sorry, Derek. But yeah, so with that, I'll leave it open to, I just saw that question, so I figured I'll leave it open to questions if anybody wants more elaboration on the report.
Stephen, when you spoke to the provider in question, you sort of allude to an explanation for the discrepancies. Was that, did you find that adequate, or did you also have questions?
I do have questions about it. It's a matter of the mechanism by which I can kind of get more thorough answers is kind of on hold because I need to work more directly with the client to do that. So we had a conversation about it, and I think my concerns for any concerns that I would have had for the client's safety are, you know, at this point kind of satisfied, but whether the client is safe and whether the client feels safe are two totally different things. And in the instance where the client sees a doctor's name that they're not familiar with, it's a matter of them not feeling safe. And I think that's important. So to answer your question, I received some satisfactory hypotheses as to why the after visit summaries had unfamiliar information, unfamiliar names, or kind of confusing information. There was another issue with the date on that particular visit as well. So there were some reasons for it. There were justifications provided that made sense, but I don't know that moving forward, the easiest path is to simply explain them away. Ultimately, I think what a patient is looking for is to feel like their physician has their back. And in this instance, the client didn't feel that way. So it's kind of a separate set of questions. How can we make the client with this documentation, which is helpful information to have, and having it at your fingertips on the phone is incredibly helpful. However, if it's not done properly, it can kind of cause, it can really trigger some things for clients who have been, who feel they have been mistreated at the hands of medical professionals before. That can be a very delicate issue. Some of us have worked with clients who have experienced trauma at the hands of medical professionals, and that is an incredibly difficult thing to get back, that trust of medical professionals. Once a client feels violated, it's really hard to get that back. So I think it's important that the after visit summaries and whatever mechanism we're using to communicate with clients kind of reflect the importance of that.
Thanks.
Are there any other questions?
Yeah, this is Richard. I couldn't help but reading right below that one, client number 24. That looked pretty disturbing. I don't know. I just it caught my eye while you were talking about the other one.
It was disturbing. It was disturbing.
Talking about safety.
What's up? Safe.
Talking about
safety. Sure. Yeah, I mean that was the service provider acknowledged the kind of egregiousness of that, and my understanding is that the person was reprimanded. My job is not to go that deep into how an organization handles their employees is kind of outside my purview. What I can do is make sure that the client's concerns are satisfied and make sure that moving forward it can be remedied. And I was satisfied and the client was satisfied that the issue was taken care of, not only for this client, but moving forward, the person will not be using that email address. And that was made clear to me by the service provider.
Yeah, I see a lot of good remedy there. Thank you, Stephen.
Of course, yeah.
Any other questions for Stephen?
Stephen, what was the number? I'm not sure I'm seeing it. What was the number again for the case that you were describing around the lack or the confusion around forms?
The after visit summary is 2020-04.
Okay. Is the other 2020-04 related to that same issue or is it a totally different issue?
So if it's a client number, then it's going to be the same client. So the client will have, you know, this particular client had an ongoing issue with me and then, you know, received this after visit summary and was, you know, while we were on the phone, was like, hey, I have another thing, which is, you know, a pretty usual way for me to get cases.
And I guess my question is for the prior case, it seems pretty vague as far as feeling unsupported. Can you speak more on that?
So, sure. So as we know, for the benefit of the of folks who are, I don't know how many people are on the call. I can't see all of the participants right now, but for the benefit of anybody who doesn't understand, you know, supportive housing, there's a kind of a two arm system in, you know, with supportive housing. There's the housing component and typically a building manager who handles the building issues. So if something needs to get fixed or if a door is broken or unit transfers, things like that kind of get handled by the building management. And then in the supportive housing environments, and there are several tiers of that, there's a service component, and that's typically handled by a case manager. They handle HIV-related services, and that would be, you know, support in getting to appointments or finding a doctor, connection to other services, and things like that. In some instances where the client is feeling unsupported in the housing sector, I am faced with a choice. I can kind of, if it's a housing issue and a straight up housing issue, like a notice to evict, the most important thing I can do is make sure that client is supported by a housing attorney. And so in that instance, in those kind of more challenging and more time sensitive issues, I will immediately refer to legal services to make sure that the client is supported by a housing attorney. In other instances, what I can do is I can loop in the service provider to see if they can help support the client in the ways that they need to be communicating with the building management. So in other words, kind of using them as a supportive arm to help them work with the building manager to not get a notice to evict. Or, you know, in a lot of instances, I'm trying to do that to preempt a problem or to clarify communication or to make sure that the client has a clear path to, you know, discuss their issues. In this instance, the client was not supported by their on-site case manager. And under the current circumstances, there's not a whole lot of turnover and there's not a whole lot of movement that can be done. Oftentimes these buildings, if there's 30, 40, 50 units, depending on which building it is, and there's two case managers or three case managers. So there's not a whole lot of movement that can be done, you know, within the organization. And in this instance, unfortunately, the client has perpetually felt unsupported by their case management team, but to change it would require a staffing change, which is a much more difficult thing for me to effectuate. And, you know, oftentimes it may not even be necessary. It's more of a conflict of personalities than anything else. So when that happens, kind of the most important thing I can do is make sure that I'm with the client on their radar, making sure they know they can contact me or email me with whatever issues they're having or whatever gripes they're having. And I can mediate it from a distance to a certain extent to make sure that it doesn't get so toxic that it leads to some sort of notice from the building. So when you see those kind of notes on my without more, it's more this client is feeling unsupported. They need my support in communicating with their service provider to make sure that the relationship doesn't get more vitriolic. And so that's kind of what I'm doing here is it's an ongoing mediation. It's less difficult for me to explain that. And it's not like a check the box type thing. It's, you know, the client emails me when he's frustrated with the service provider. I talk with him about it. I try to explain what I know of from the service provider's perspective and say, hey, there's staffing things and COVID and all the things. And, you know, ultimately, if there is something that I don't know or I don't know the policies on, that's when I reach out to the service provider and say, hey, do you actually have a policy on this? Because so-and-so is feeling this way. And, you know, I can typically have more, I can typically get, you know, communicate those things better to a client who has a non-therapeutic relationship with their case manager. That's typically not necessary when the client is feeling supported.
Thank you. That makes perfect sense.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Any other questions for Steven? All right. Thank you, Steven, for the report. Very much appreciated.
Yeah, thank you all.
Right. Needs assessment and COLA updates.
This should be quick. I don't know if Melina has on her end, but my end is that we did finally sort out, as I told you last month, the gift card situation. And we're a go. I have reached back out to our community stakeholders and collaborators that I spoke to what is literally months ago, 5 months ago, 4 months ago at this point, and sort of reinitiated contact. I did get a couple referrals from one of those. So I have sent out a couple surveys. The process for this is essentially when I get a survey back, I should be able to see it. The links are individualized, so I can see who has responded, and then I can just shoot them off their gift card. Hopefully the lag and the process for getting this going doesn't damage our outreach too badly. But given that our target is usually trying to get this done before the summit, and the summit is now passed, I feel like I basically have you tell me how you feel about this, but I would like to have this for you guys. Oh, shit. I mean, ideally, we'd see it in November before the end of the year, but that only gives me just the next few weeks to get as many responses as possible and then put those together. That seems like a fairly short timeline. What do we think about doing the report back in January?
I mean, I'll say, given that we don't have the time frame of the summit, that we should take the time necessary to get some good results, right? If there's no time pressure, then let's do what works for the staff and what will get us, enough responses so that we can have something good to say. That would be my preference. I mean, don't rush things at this point, since we don't have to.
Yeah, I concur with Laura. I think it's really important, given the pandemic and how you're having to go about getting the data, it's really crucial that you get as much good data as possible. Take your time.
Anyone else with a dissenting perspective on that? Okay, then I'm going to aim for January. I know that we have at least one other COLA beyond the Portuguese one that's already sort of in motion. So hopefully we can get both of those done in that same time frame and have sort of report backs for both in January. That'll be our timetable. But other than that, I don't really have a whole lot to report. All the groundwork is long done, and now we're just sort of hoping we're getting some decent responses.
How would you feel about a report back on COLAs during the November meeting?
I think I don't know. I mean, let's talk to Melina about how she feels like. I mean, we can probably do the report back on the Portuguese one, but I don't know if we're going to be able to fit in a second COLA before then. Let's just move on to Melina.
Hey, everyone. My internet is being weird today, so I'm on the phone. I think that in terms of timeline, I'm not sure if May is at the meeting, but I want to check in with him because he's been helping with the translation. I mean, not helping, like he's done. He translated the entire survey, which was really generous. And I think I just would want to meet with him and figure out just once we get all the responses back, looking at like the number of responses, because he's going to have to translate each individual survey back. And I think November could be doable, but I just want to confirm with him because he's doing a lot of work on this. How does that sound to everyone?
That sounds good.
Yeah.
Cool.
Works for me. I know we discussed this Monday, Tuesday. I don't even remember. Have you touched base with them about moving forward at this point? Are we ready to send out surveys yet, or are you still sort of waiting on May for that?
So I confirmed with him that the translation he sent me, which I put into SurveyMonkey, is all good. I just want to make sure, and Dave, maybe we can talk about this after the meeting, but I just want to make sure that the ways of distributing the survey is good for everyone in terms of like me sending it out to people and like tracking those emails for gift cards, or if it's better that he sends it out. And that's just the last thing that we need to figure out, and then we'll be good to go.
Yeah, that works for me. I mean, just as a sort of, I think we explained a little bit of this last time to the group, but the sort of sending out the gift cards had a whole additional like component around disclosure that we were concerned with. So this whole process has been sort of a lot of kind of tracking along our ordinary path and then realizing, oh, that doesn't work. So we have to work around it. And so recognizing that initially the way Target wants to do it is they want you to give the emails to them to send out the gift cards directly from them, which is a confidentiality issue. And then they wanted to approve all of our materials that we would potentially be sending to people with gift cards, which they wanted like literally to say planning counselor Shanti, which I declined because again, confidentiality. And that was a lot of a negotiation piece with them. And now we're sort of trying to figure out what is the best way to then get these people who are participating their gift cards. Can we, as far as how the gift cards work, it might be that I'm the only one who can actually send them out because I'm the one who has access to the account from which the gift cards are coming, or can we have Nay do them and maintain even a greater confidentiality? So we also at the same time want to avoid any double dipping or, you know, having people accessing more incentives than maybe they should be. So it's a whole thing, but we're figuring it out. Any other questions?
Thank you both for your work on that.
Yeah, thank you for figuring all of that out, and among the ways in which everything is so much more complicated during COVID, this certainly got way, way more complicated than it really should have. So thank you for persevering with it and making it happen.
Yeah, I mean, I just clearly I was not nearly as well prepared for the apocalypse as I should have been. So I apologize.
I mean, who knew that one of the signs of the apocalypse would be negotiating with Target over gift cards, though. So it's understandable that you weren't prepared for that.
Yeah, not just gift cards, marketing language is really what they're concerned with. It's marketing language. All right, cool.
All right. Any other questions or comments around the needs assessment, COLAs? All right. Well, that was a very fast meeting. I will adjourn us and see everyone next month on the 4th of November. Have a good month.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Take care, everybody.
Thank you all.
Dave, you want to stay on for a moment?
Yeah, I'm